there aren't a lot of opportunities to go out and do stuff right about now, and that means more time for at-home activities. For a lot of people, that means more time for reading. Maybe reading has even helped you feel more calm and relaxed for just a little bit. Our next guest is here to talk about how books can help us during a time like this and to make some recommendations. Anne Patchett joins us now. Anne is a best-selling author of several books. Her latest is The Dutch House. She's co-owner of Parnassus Books in Nashville, Tennessee. Anne, thanks so much for joining us today.
Really happy to talk to you.
I imagine you're a pretty big reader in any time, but what does reading mean for you right about now with a lot of difficulties, including, of course, changes at your own bookstore?
Well, yes. You know, it's funny because at first I had a hard time reading, which is just like not ever a problem for me. And I've talked to so many people who've said that, had a hard time concentrating, was really digging to look and find the right book. So that's part of it. And then, of course, I'm always reading for the bookstore. And like so many independent bookstores, we are still shipping. So we're not open to the public, but you can email in your orders. So find your local independent bookstore and keep them alive.
What did you do to find that right book for you for the right moment, maybe after that initial period of having a hard time keying in on something?
Well, my thing is I'm always reading books that haven't come out yet. I read galleys because everybody sends me 5 books every single day of my life. And I kept trying to read the way I always read, which is to be looking forward and reading things new. And what I realized is that there was a big part of me that just wanted to go backwards and read some things I'd already read before, read some things that were comforting to me. And once I did that, I really got my groove back.
Comfort reading. I love that. What stood out to you when it came to comfort reading?
Well, actually, the thing that I really desperately wanted to read was not so comforting. And that's Katherine Ann Porter's Pale Horse, Pale Rider, which is a novella. If you get any collection of Katherine Ann Porter, you'll find it. But it is the greatest pandemic story ever written. And it's about the Spanish flu in 1918. And it's something that I've read several times over the years. And, you know, it's tough, it's emotional. But weirdly, that was my breakthrough. And going back and reading that really helped. I also went back and read David Copperfield again, because nobody can resist David Copperfield. It just pulls you in. And no matter how much you don't have concentration, you're going to have a good time reading David Copperfield.
Now, you wrote a piece recently for the New York Times about why we need life-changing books right now. What do you mean by life-changing books?
Well, the piece that I wrote was about Kate DiCamillo, and that reading Kate DiCamillo was really life-changing for me. I don't have children, and I don't tend to read children's literature. I don't read middle grade books. And about a year and a half ago, I read all of Kate DiCamillo's books. I met her. People kept telling me how great she was, what a great writer she was. I knew that she had read all of my books, and I thought, I've just got to do this. And I was only going to read one or two, and I couldn't stop. And that was a great thing to think about right now, because if you don't have the bandwidth to read a full grown-up novel, read a middle grade novel. And I really, really recommend the novels of Kate DiCamillo, The Miraculous Journey of Edward Tulane, The Magician's Elephant, Tales of Despero. They're spectacular books, and you can have a complete reading experience in 2 hours. And she's really like the E.B. White of our time. She is as good as it gets.
Is there anything more fun, Anne, than finding a book you like by an author and then realizing there's a whole bunch of other stuff they wrote? Like you're set for, you know, months, years maybe with them?
It's the best. It is absolutely the best. And then there's the experience of having an author like that who you've been reading all along, and then their new book comes out and you think this is the best. So one of my favorite authors is Louise Erdrich, and she has a new book that came out last month called The Night Watchman. And it is, for my money, the very best Louise Erdrich book. So I think that Louise Erdrich is probably the best novelist, and now we have her best book. So that's incredibly exciting.
Ann Patchett is with us to share some great reads. She's written many books of her own. Her latest is The Dutch House, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Let us know what you're reading, what's on your list or your stack, or what you're borrowing back and forth with friends. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. You mentioned a Pale Horse, Pale Rider. You had, I think, a blog post, or maybe it was on your bookstore site, with some other novels related to a disease and pandemic, if that's where people want to go right now. Not everybody will, but what are some other ones we might reach for?
Well, of course, everybody's talking about Station 11 by Emily St. John Mandel, which was a fantastic pandemic novel. There's The Stand by Stephen King. If, you know, you've got time to read 1,000 pages right now. But I got to say, in my own experience, more and more, I want to find something that's going to make me feel a little better. And one book that I love, especially for Wisconsin, Jane Hamilton's The Excellent Lombards, which has got to be the great Wisconsin novel. So definitely your listeners should be looking for that. Writers and Lovers by Lily King. Just a very, very hopeful, engaging, one of those books you can't put down, does your heart good. Those are the kinds of things that I'm looking for right now. I mean, I'm not saying necessarily everything is happy, but everything feels very normal. I just started Ann Tyler's new book, Redhead by the Side of the Road, last night. And I thought, yeah, you know, Ann Tyler, she knows what she's doing. You feel very taken care of when you're reading an Ann Tyler book. Not so much when you're reading a Stephen King book.
Fair. Yeah. Yeah, you feel kind of bad about things. Well, I guess when you read Stephen King, you always realize that things could always be worse than they
are. So much worse. Exactly.
Now, you mentioned, go ahead.
What are you reading?
Oh, well, I've got a couple of things going. I just started, I'm late to the game. I'm always late on cool stuff. The Bone Season by Samantha Shannon. I'm only a couple chapters into that so far.
Yeah.
I just read Phil Rickman. He has this series of mysteries set on the Welsh-English border with vicar, Mary Lee Watkins.
Those are fantastic. And boy, mysteries are a great thing to dive into right now. It's almost like working a jigsaw puzzle. You know, you're engaged and you're on edge and calm at the same time. That's a great suggestion.
That's a great analogy. We actually just talked to a couple of people about why jigsaw puzzles are so huge. Like, you can't buy them now. They're sold out. Our minds want something to latch out and solve. And I guess a mystery novel might scratch that same itch.
It's very true. And a lot of bookstores, including Parnassus Books in Nashville, we have amazing jigsaw puzzles. We just got in. It's almost like, you know, we bought up all the toilet paper. No, we bought up all the jigsaw puzzles.
Do you do jigsaw puzzles yourself, or do you have time with all the books you have to read?
You know, jigsaw puzzles to me are very social. So if I have other people around, I'd really enjoy a jigsaw puzzle. It's not something I'm going to sit down and do by myself.
We pick up our conversation with best-selling author Ann Patchett. She co-owns Parnassus Books in Nashville, Tennessee. She's sharing some reading recommendations with us right now, and you can too at 800-642-1234. Are you reading more these days? What are you turning to? Some old favorites or trying something new? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go to your calls now. Josh starts us off in Madison. Josh, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What do you got for us, Josh?
Oh, well, I ever since high school, I read this book first in high school. And then after I got out of high school and college, I actually read it two more times. And that book is called The Odyssey. And I'm sure people are familiar with it, but it's a very good book, and it takes your mind off a lot of things. And there's several different stories in that book that are very interesting and kind of keeps you on the edge of your seat. And there's some humor in it, too. But currently I am a fourth-year plumbing apprentice for the state of Wisconsin. So the main book that I always, you know, have my nose in is that Wisconsin State Plumbing Code book. But when I have time to, you know, take a break from the lawyer gibberish of shall and shall not and stuff like that that's in the code book, The Odyssey is a good book to read. Also, Shiloh is an awesome book to read. And then a lot of people think this is funny, but I say The Dictionary is a good book to read also.
Really?
Just because the power of words is so unbelievably, I can't even explain the power of words, how powerful words are, but to actually know the definition of words, and then when I see them, whether they're in the code book or they're on a sign or, you know, something else that I'm reading, I just, it clicks back and I remember, oh, I read that in the dictionary. I know what that word means. So
fantastic. Josh, thanks so much, Anne.
I love that. Okay. And I actually read the dictionary too. I'm all for that. But let me say something about the Odyssey. Two things. One, really fun to look at different translations. So, you know, reading one translation of the Odyssey is entirely different from reading another translation. But the book that I would really recommend is called Circe by Madeline Miller, which came out a couple of years ago. It was a huge hit, and it is a retelling of the Odyssey from the point of view of Circe, the witch, who is the one who turns Odysseus and his men into pigs. And it's a fantastic book.
Thank you so much for that call. I appreciate it. Great recommendations. We'll go to Nancy in Milwaukee now. Nancy, hi.
Hello. I heard your guest say that she felt she needed something at this time to pick her up. And what I'm going to say is not probably going to do that. but what I recently reread three of Marilyn French's books, which were written in the late 70s, maybe going into the 80s. And I feel there should be a necessity for every woman to read at this time, because it shows that concerning how long ago they were written, women's progress in life has not really improved much. And all of that was borne out by all of these recent sexual escapades by various men. I just feel what Marilyn had to say. She's been dead for a long time, but I really feel that what she had to say and her hopefulness about women's lives has not actually come to pass, certainly as fast as she would have desired.
Nancy, thanks a lot for that call. So some social commentary there, Anne.
Okay, and I certainly remember reading The Women's Room when it came out, and have been a big fan of Marilyn French, and I have a book that would be perfect for that caller. It's a first novel called Valentine by Elizabeth Wetmore, and it takes place in Texas in 1976. And it really is exactly what you're talking about, except in a novel. And it's a look back on how the situation both has and has not changed for women, and how women are judged and believed over time. Fantastic first novel, Valentine.
Nancy, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to author Anne Patchett about great book recommendations for a time of safer at home orders around the country. Back to your calls now. Dale is on the line in River Falls. Dale, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Great, great topic. Sam, I heard your comment earlier talking about The Stand, and that was actually going to be my first recommendation, but for a very different reason. In general, I've found my my mind going towards a different style of reading for the past probably 5-6 years or so. And it's less about going from cover to cover. It's really more about reading, like, history, for example, where you can jump in and you can read just a section at a time. And what I love about The Stand, actually, is, yes, it can seem like it's quite a tome and quite an undertaking, but because I've read it before, I can go back and remember that it is also a story about good triumphing over evil. So I found comfort in reading just even the human experience about how people were kind of relating with one another. But also the second thing that I mentioned was that I also find myself gravitating toward not only kind of comfort books that I've read before, but short stories, because I find that it's great, such as even picking up Khalil Gibran, for example, because being able to change a channel for even just 10 minutes or a half hour at a time, and talking about changing the channel, we also thought it was funny last night that we noticed that I've gravitated towards our rocking chair and pulling it out with my back to the TV, that actually has been very calming for me as well. I mean, the actual physical act of turning off. You know, we were so just inundated with so much information right now. So,
wow, a lot to work with there. Anne, where do you want to start?
I've got two great recommendations. One, I'm so glad you brought up short stories, and you're absolutely right. This is a perfect time for short stories. In the same way that it's a perfect time for middle grade novels, just things that are more manageable. My favorite book of short stories that's come out in ages is by Kevin Wilson, and it's called Baby, You're Gonna Be Mine. Brilliant, amazing collection of short stories. And also on the history front, I'm a big Doris Kearns Goodwin fan, and she came out with a book last year called Leadership in Turbulent Times, and it's about how five different presidents became leaders. It's Lincoln and FDR and Roosevelt and Johnson, and I'm missing one. But anyway, it's exactly that. It's a book that you can pick up and you can skip around in, and it's just the highlights of the presidency and of the history in these different times. Fantastic book.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go now to, we got full phone lines, by the way. We could probably talk book recommendations all day. Pam joins us now in Fenimore. Pam, hi.
Hi there.
What did you want to bring up, Pam?
Well, when the idea of a lockdown became imminent, I went to the library and checked out the Jan Karen books, the Mitford series. And I am rereading them because I didn't want to read something that had a lot of strife or conflict in it. And I knew that, to me, these are comforting books. And I really enjoy, you know, there's a little bit of religious overtone, which is fine. But I wonder if there are any other authors out there that have a similar style of writing to Jan Karen.
Ooh, I wasn't familiar with Jan Karen, Anne.
I am familiar with Jan Karen, and I am trying to think of who would be a good comparable for her. Because there's a real sweetness and a gentleness. You know, you might want to go back to the early novels of Anne Tyler. I think that would be really good. And I'm just, this is so crazy, but whenever I think of Jan Karen, I think of one of my favorite authors, who is Nancy Mitford, who has, it's just the word Mitford, and people get them confused all the time, the Mitford novels and a woman whose last name is actually Mitford. But Love in a Cold Climate and In Pursuit of Love by Nancy Mitford, two of the most enjoyable novels ever. It's like reading Jane Austen, but a little more contemporary. They're a very little bit more contemporary. They're set in England between the Great World Wars.
Thanks for the call. Hope those recommendations help. We'll go to John now in Wyota. John, hi.
Hi. I just have a quick suggestion. If you would like something local, historical fiction would be August Derleth and the Sock Prairie series, Sock Prairie Saga. He's Wisconsin's most prolific writer, and these novels are written back in the 30s and 40s, and I think they're wonderful. There's probably 9 of them, and it's just great historical fiction, and I'd like to throw that out there.
And, John, I know August Derleth is known in part for his connection with H.P. Lovecraft horror-type stuff. This is not that. This is a whole other side of August Derleth, it sounds like.
Correct. This is historical fiction. It's not horror. It's not macabre. It's not poetry, which he wrote all of those things. And no, I really enjoy it. There's Bright Journey. There still is a summer night. There's Endless is the River, and there's several of them. The Edge
I
of
love
Night.
That. John, thanks a lot. And I love that idea of finding some local historical fiction.
Absolutely. That is great. And that one is completely new to me, so I'm taking notes while I'm listening. I feel like I'm on a book game show.
It kind of, yeah. Have you read? And you've read a lot more than I have, obviously, so you're winning.
Well, you're,
I give
you're
you
doing
more
a
points
very good
so
job.
Far. Well, and I wanted to talk a little bit about audiobooks. That's something I do.
Yeah.
No, I'm doing other stuff. I just got an installment of a N.K. Jemisin book, The 100,000 Kingdoms. I'm just about done with that on audiobook now. Is that something you reach for at all?
It is. I love audiobooks. I used to only listen to audiobooks if I was going on a long drive, which I think is how most of us think about it. Now, if I'm cooking dinner, if I'm cleaning the house, if I'm going for a walk, I'm listening to an audiobook. And not to be self-promoting, but I got to tell you, the best audiobook is The Dutch House, because Tom Hanks reads the audio of The Dutch House, and it is so spectacular. It just takes my breath away.
Not just because you wrote it.
Because of him. He's amazing.
And thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been a blast. Thanks so much, everybody. Keep reading.
That's Ann Patchett, best-selling author of several books, including her latest is called The Dutch House, with apparently audiobook read by the Tom Hanks. She's co-owner of Parnassus Books in Nashville, Tennessee. You can keep the conversations going over at the Ideas Network Facebook page. Share what you're reading right now.